Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, Americans. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. A little bit of breaking news to start the day off. You never know what's going to happen in America, and we do have some breaking news, and very curious to get the opinions of the people that are still watching Fox News Channel. Are you still watching Fox? You know, I think just about everybody has now evacuated over to Newsmax, and from all under my understanding, people are loving it. They're loving the host, they're loving the lineup, and we're going to have some exciting news about Newsmax and yours truly coming up. No, we're teasing it. But anyway, I'm just curious if any of you folks are still hanging out over at Fox News. Drudge Report is back. You know, back in the day, and I know this is a little digital history for all of the millennials and the Gen Zers listening to the program. But back in the day, Drudge Report was all that and a bag of chips. I mean, Drudge literally drove the news narrative in America for years. And then things went a little squirrely over the past, I don't know, decade or so. But going all the way back to Bill Clinton and the activities that he performed in the Oval Office, or dare I say Monica Lewinsky performed, Miss Lewinsky of the blue dress fame, Drudge Report broke all of that. It's really just, it was remarkable the influence that Matt Drudge had. And by the way, only a handful of workers, I think maybe three or four staffers. So it was not a massive operation, but they were one of the top, if not the top website in America back in the day. And this is the early days of the interwebs. So anyway, Drudge Report has their big headline back, and they used to do this all the time. And it would be a big, huge, red, all caps red headline, and it would say something crazy. Well, this is crazy. So according to Drudge, their sources inside Fox News say Sean Hannity is going to replace Tucker Carlson. Again, the news coming out of Drudge is that there's going to be a massive shakeup in prime time. So every single hour is going to be reworked. And as a result, and I'm not surprised that they're not going with any of the three people or four people that have been filling in that time slot, because Fox's ratings have been hemorrhaging. They have been hemorrhaging viewers to Newsmax, and Fox knows it. They may be talking the good talk and smiling and saying everything's hunky-dory, but everything is not hunky-dory at 1211 Sixth Avenue. They're very concerned about the rapid growth of Newsmax. So much so, they actually decided, against Paul Ryan's request, to air the Fox rally over the weekend in Iowa that ended up getting canceled because of the tornado, as we say in the South. No, Dylan, not tornado, but tornado. As in, hey, y'all better get inside the trailer, there's a tornado coming. That's what I mean. So anyway, I digress. Anyway, Drudge says that Sean Hannity is going to be moved to the 8 o'clock hour. Meanwhile, Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld are expected to get primetime shows. I don't know about the Gutfeld move. I mean, he's crushing it right now in late night going up against the comedians. So why would they mess with a good thing? And honestly, Gutfeld's brand of show actually works better at night than I think when all the church-going people are still awake and watching Fox News. No, I'm just saying it's a little hot talk, if you will. Quote, it's our boldest and most fearless lineup ever, a source told Drudge. Fox News has again lost millions of viewers since Tucker was fired. And by the way, the new reporting coming out is that Dominion ordered Fox News to fire Tucker Carlson. And that was part of the arrangement. That was part of the deal. But it was not part of the write it all down on paper. This was part of a verbal agreement. Again, this is the allegation coming from Tucker Carlson's people. And by the way, you talk about Newsmax, in the most recent ratings that came out just a few days ago, primetime, Newsmax actually had a larger audience in primetime than CNN did. That's the first time in history that has happened. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on all this for you, but big changes afoot over at Fox News. The question is, what happens to Laura Ingraham? Is she still going to be there? Her name not mentioned. But I am curious to hear from you. Do you still watch Fox News, or were you one of the people that said, that's it, we're done here? They're pretending to be conservative when, in fact, they're really not. Let's go to the phones. Michael in North Carolina. Michael, I'm curious, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Yeah, I've been watching Newsmax for a long time. They completely blow away Fox News. I've learned a lot of important things from Newsmax. I learned that the Italian satellites were responsible for the overtime.
All right. Yeah, good for you, pal. We're not gonna do comedy players today. That's really unfortunate. And again, ladies and gentlemen, every now and again, we have this, I don't know if it's a cartel of comedians. These are the ones that have very questionable, well, anyway, we don't want to go there. But every now and again, we get hit by these people. So we're going to be taking your calls on this through the day, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. A lot happening up on Capitol Hill as the White House and the House Republicans go toe-to-toe on this debt ceiling. And so far, the Republicans are holding their ground, and we greatly appreciate that. Just how long that's going to happen, we don't know. This breaking news coming in from the Supreme Court just mere seconds ago. This is somewhat disappointing, but not surprising. The Supreme Court has allowed Illinois' so-called assault weapons ban to take effect. It will remain in effect while the Supreme Court deliberates. The ruling, by the way, this doesn't mean that it's all decided. It's just that they're going to take their time to figure this out. And while that's happening, they're going to allow the ban to remain in place. So meanwhile, a gun shop owner in Illinois actually requested an injunction against the ban. So Illinois law bans the sale of and new possession of semi-automatic so-called assault weapons. Those who already legally own weapons would not have to turn them in. The law also bans the sale of large capacity magazines. Now, here in Memphis, Tennessee, they're doing something very similar. The city council getting ready to put it before the voters, but they want to ban all sorts of weapons. And just like Illinois, they say they're going to grandfather in. So we don't believe there will be door-to-door confiscation of guns. But look, nothing is off the table with these people. And that's what you have to understand. Look, here in Tennessee, and we've become ground zero for the Get the Guns legislation that's being actually advanced by Republicans, which is frightening, but not surprising. Now, one of the things that I find interesting about this is nobody's actually bothered to read the current laws on the books when it comes to gun ownership in the state of Tennessee. And I was talking to a state lawmaker who's very upset with me. And this guy's a Republican. And he believes that we need to get the guns. And the reason why is because a very close friend of his was killed by a gunman. And I get that. But the problem here, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot make laws based on emotion. We cannot do that. The same thing with the governor of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee. He has compromised. He had someone very close to him get killed in the shooting at the Nashville Christian School. And so as a result of that, the governor is wanting to implement a red flag law, other gun bans, and he's bringing the state lawmakers back in to deal with this, a special session. But none of these people have actually read the laws. So the guy I was talking to, the state representative, he says, well, we just don't want crazy people. We don't want crazy people with the guns. Well, I agree. Nobody wants crazy people with guns. And that's why in the Tennessee gun laws that are currently on the books, guess what? They actually ban crazy people from owning guns. So my question in all of this, what is it about the current laws that aren't working? My recommendation, enforce the laws on the books. That's all you have to do here. That is literally all you have to do. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on as well. All right, let's go to Bill in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Bill, I want you to weigh in on this Fox News situation. What say you?
Well, I haven't watched Fox News in quite a while, probably since Bill O'Reilly days, so that's been a minute. But if they keep hee-hawing around what they're doing right now, they're going to go bankrupt, and I say Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and a few others, maybe even yourself, dip in and buy the new station and go back and start over from scratch and get everything going back in the right direction.
Well, Bill, that's one of the reasons I bought the radio station in Memphis. I was just really concerned about not having a platform I owned and operated and controlled. You know, a lot of these big corporations, including these corporate radio stations, they're not conservative. I mean, they're making money off of conservatives. But given the choice, they'll force people to mask up and fire people if they don't get the jab in the shoulder. You know, I don't do that. But I like your idea, and it very well may come to that where a bunch of the conservatives, we get together and we try to launch our own product. But I'm telling you, Bill, Newsmax is doing an amazing job of bringing together the conservatives. And I hope you consider maybe giving them a chance.
Well, you know, Newsmax, yeah, maybe they'll just buy Fox News and it'll just become one big deal where, you know, like you just said, the conservative side of things and get the voice spoke out like you're doing, Todd, and I appreciate what all you're doing and some of the smaller guys in local radio stations around across this country. That's what we've got to do. We've got, you know, I appreciate you exercising your First Amendment and your Second Amendment, and that's what we got to do here.
Amen, because that Second Amendment protects the First Amendment. So
yeah, exactly.
There you go.
All right,
Bill.
Take care, Todd.
Good talking to you. Real quick, before we go to break, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Amy is listening to us on not only our flagship radio station, but now our award-winning flagship radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, KWAM was just named as a winner of one of the top prizes in broadcast journalism, the Regional Edward R. Murrow Award. So congratulations to the great staff there at KWAM. Amy, what's on your mind?
Congratulations, Todd.
Well, thank you.
You deserve it, and I love everything that you're talking about. I'm right there with you. The gun ban is ridiculous. Does anyone have one question? Does anyone read the Constitution these days? I don't know.
Amy, I was going down through the literal law that's on the books when it comes to guns in Tennessee, and it's a page long of just all the people who are not allowed to own or handle a firearm. And it seems to me they cover everybody. But I'm afraid what they're really doing, Amy, is going after the law-abiding gun owners and the young people who are being raised up to be law-abiding gun owners who will not be able to buy guns.
I believe you're right, and that's why we have to fight back. And I think that I like the idea of someone buying Fox News, but I think it would have to take Elon Musk, maybe, and Donald Trump together, and maybe Tucker Carlson. The three of them together could maybe buy Fox News. Back. But I love Newsmax, and I'm with you on the job they're doing. And, you know, I think one of the things that the left has done successfully is be very loud, very aggressive, and very pushy. And, you know, we have to do that. We have to fight back and stand up for what we think. And that's why I'm calling in. We can't be silent and polite. Keep your thoughts to yourself. And I hate to tell you this, but politics is in everything now, everything. People are like, oh, don't talk about politics. Well, we have to. Because it's in our everyday face and decision making, and it, you know, the left is pushing for our rights to be taken away, our freedom. I saw something on Facebook yesterday that I loved. that said, Trump, you may not have liked, Trump had mean tweets, but Biden is ruining our families, our financials, and our freedoms. And I thought, that's right.
That's it.
So, I mean, I'm with you 100%. And I appreciate everything you're doing. I wish more people had the backbone to say the things that you say, because I say them too. Maybe they're waking up. I don't know, but I certainly hope so.
Me too, Amy. And thank you for listening and supporting KWAM, the great conservative blowtorch there in the Mid-South. And that's what it's going to take, everybody. You got to stand up. You got to speak out. And you've got to make those decisions. Look at what happened with Bud Light. I mean, the entire company is about to implode thanks to you, beer-loving patriots of America, who said, you know what? We're not doing that anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to support that. But on the other side, what you do need to be doing is supporting your local conservative talk radio stations. Take a stand and support the businesses that support talk radio. That's your voice. That's your opportunity to get the message out. Hang tight, everybody. We're going to get to your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com, or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304. 649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the owner of Nuga Radio. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, the old Nuga Radio Network. Listen, I know we don't have much time. Congratulations on the award. You have a much better chance of getting hit by lightning.
Shocking.
That's great, man.
Shocking.
Fantastic.
And really, we actually had the word thug in a couple of headlines, Mike. I'm just shocked.
You're getting bad.
Terrible.
Bad boy. Fox, as we know, is the controlled opposition. I mean, they were never really. I consider conservative rejecting the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. And I can't find a Republican that doesn't embrace five of them. So Newsmax, awesome. Fox, what do you call it? A wet noodle, flimsy? What do you call the governor? Squishy?
Oh, squishy. Yeah, Governor Squish.
Name for them.
Yeah.
How about Fox? We're squishy.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hannity, do you really think that Hannity is going to draw bigger numbers than Tucker Carlson?
I pulled Hannity from my station. He was getting too squishy.
Is that right?
Yeah, I won't run him. He's a neocon. No.
Well, the challenge there is Tucker never worked off of talking points, and I don't want to name names, but you got some folks in that primetime lineup, and that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. Now, on the guns, quickly, I know we don't have much time. But I studied it for 50 years. This is real simple. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect the states from the federal government. So whatever the government can have as far as a weapon is concerned, the general government, so can the people. And that's called the unorganized militia, males 17 to 45. And as far as the organized militia is concerned, that would be the state police. Because the president has no jurisdiction of the state police.
Well, there you go. But, Mike, I will tell you, they're going to try to come after the guns in Memphis, but they're not going to take them away from the bad guys. They're going to take them away from the law-abiding citizens. Hey, Mike, got to run. Good hearing from you. That man is not squishy. Let me tell you that right now. We'll be right back, America. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. A lot going on, and we do want to congratulate our flagship radio station, KWAM, for the first time in station history, winning a regional Edward R. Murrow Award, and it is really one of the most prestigious journalism prizes. And the fact that it's going to a conservative talk radio station that's doing great journalism, well, that really says something about the caliber of people that we have working at KWAM, which is also the station I own. So anyway, those of you that say AM radio is dead, I say phooey on you. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great American Patriot joining us from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing fine, Todd. Hope you're doing fine as well.
Well, I am. I've just about finished up the Durham report. Oh, what's 300 mm-hmm. some odd pages. And mm-hmm. I think the question I have, and a lot of our listeners have, is there any chance that these people are going to be held accountable for what they did?
Well, I mean, again, the only people to hold them accountable is the Justice Department, is the executive branch. What we can do in the legislative branch is we can continue to get the facts out there for the American people on this issue and a host of others where we think these agencies have been turned against the American citizen. And then maybe most importantly is, we're going to have to use the appropriations process. I mean, think about this, Todd. The FBI is scheduled to get a $500 million new facility. Maybe we'd be better off not having American tax dollars be spent on that. So let's look at areas where we can, in the appropriations process, use the power of the purse, which the Constitution gives to the Congress, and in particular to the House of Representatives, use that power to begin to impact these agencies and make sure they're doing their job and not targeting American people.
Now, Congressman, to be clear, do the Republicans in the House, you guys control the purse strings, so do you guys have the power to do something like that?
Sure do. It'll be a fight because, you know, the Senate won't want to do it. Chuck Schumer in the Senate won't want to do it. Joe Biden won't want to do it. But the evidence is so over. Think about that report. That report said no evidence, no probable cause, no predicate whatsoever to launch that investigation into spying on a presidential campaign, spying on private American citizens, but they did it, and they did it all based on a dossier that they knew at the time came from the Clinton campaign that was completely fake. But they did it. I mean, the most telling line is where Durham writes that the FBI failed in its fundamental mission of fidelity to the law. They didn't follow the law. That is scary. So we're definitely going to have to use the power of the purse if we're going to get these guys' attention and change what's been going on over there.
Now, I'm not sure what the legal definition of a coup is, but or treason, but I do know what Webster's Dictionary says. And when you look at that definition, it's very clear that at the very worst, Hillary Clinton engaged in treasonous behavior. At the very least, election interference. Am I off base here?
Well, it was when it was with the campaign, it came there. But what the FBI did afterwards, where they ran with this, there's some lines in there, I forget on what page, where it says someone related to Mr. Durham that Mr. Comey and Mr. McCabe were pushing for the FISA. Where's the FISA? When are we going to get the FISA? How long is it taking on the FISA? Why is it taking so long? They wanted that FISA. And remember, they took false information to the court to get the FISA. They used the dossier as part of the basis to get the FISA, which they knew was false. So They were actively working to undermine the presidency of the guy who was elected by we the people. So that is the biggest problem. What Clinton did is she was given false information, paying for false information, probably some kind of campaign finance issues she had as part of the campaign. But what the FBI did once President Trump was elected, that was really the scary part, in my judgment.
It's all scary. And, you know, President Trump was mocked even by members of his own party when he kept talking about this deep state. Well, it looks to me like this exposes the deep state and it names names.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the old line, Todd. The only thing we were wrong about is it was worse than we thought. So this thing confirmed everything we suspected, everything we'd been saying, just further confirmed what we knew. And I think put a greater emphasis on it, where you have Mr. Durham, the special counsel, U.S. attorney, worked a long time in the Justice Department, where he says that line about failed in their mission of fidelity to the law. They didn't follow the law. You have to have probable cause. You have to have real evidence. You have to have a real predicate to launch an investigation into any American citizen, but certainly the president of the United States. And they didn't have it, and they knew they didn't have it, but they did it anyway.
Do you feel vindicated? I mean, you were one of the people out there from day one that was out there saying, we have got to get to the bottom of this. Do you feel vindicated by this report?
Well, I mean, that's kind of you. There were a handful of us. It really started with Chairman Nunes, what Devin initially did and what they did to him. But there were a handful of us who said, this doesn't make sense. And we just started pushing early on. And there were good folks like you in the media who said, you know, this doesn't make sense. This is all BS. And we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get the facts out to the American people. And the good news is the vast majority of Americans, I believe, instinctively understood this was kind of, this didn't sound right. This was goofy. And they sort of started to figure it, I think, right from the get-go as well. But I think the key is President Trump's been vindicated. And the American people who understand that this was baloney, I think they've all been vindicated as well.
Again, going back to this idea of election interference, had this never have happened, had Hillary Clinton not said, okay, well, let's create some sort of a phony controversy or scandal to bring this guy down, if that had been off the table, then I think we would be right in the middle of Trump's second term in office right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could point to the other thing. You can point to the other information we've disclosed recently, which is this the political connection between the Biden campaign and the 51 former intel officials who signed that letter. That certainly had an impact.
Oh, huge. You're right.
And Murrell, we learned when we had the interview with Murrell that it was all done in coordination with the Biden campaign. And it was prompted by Anthony Blinken calling up Mike Murrell and getting him to focus in on this. And then next thing you know, he's out coordinating this letter. And the Biden campaign is telling Mike Murrell, here's who we want you to give this letter, this statement to. Here's the reporters. Here's the people in the press. That much coordination. And it was done for the sole purpose of having a talking point for Joe Biden in that debate. And, of course, Joe Biden used it. I've said all along, the people who signed that, they have a right to, it's a First Amendment right to do it. But it was presented in such a false manner. It was presented as if it was organic, as if it just happened, wasn't done in coordination with the campaign like we know it was. And it was done with their title, Jim Clapper, former director of Department of National Intelligence, former John Brennan, head of the CIA. I mean, it was done with their former titles, giving it the weight that it had, that conveying weight and expertise, and was used, I think, to suppress speech, to suppress the story, the Biden laptop story that was out there in the press.
One final thing, Congressman, before we let you go. I know we've been following closely the investigation surrounding Hunter Biden and the reporting coming out that the IRS investigative team had been dismissed. Any truth to that at all? Any insight you can give us on that?
Well, the lawyer who sent us that letter to a number of us here in Congress, that lawyer will be testifying tomorrow in our select committee in judiciary, because he represents not only the whistleblower in the IRS, but he represents a number of whistleblowers who are FBI agents who will be testifying tomorrow. So we've talked to over two dozen whistleblowers, dozens of whistleblowers we've talked to. We've actually sat down and interviewed several of them, and three will be testifying tomorrow. And we think they've all been retaliated against, not just the guy, the whistleblower with the IRS who came forward relative to the Biden laptop issue and the investigation with Hunter Biden, but also these folks at the FBI who will be testifying tomorrow in our committee.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Congressman, we always appreciate you taking some time to join us. Congratulations. But I think a lot of people are horrified by what the FBI has done here. And I really do think we need to go after them.
Yep. Yep. Well said, Todd. Take care, brother. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Jim Jordan, everybody, chairman of House Judiciary. And let's see what happens. We were on this program yesterday calling for the Speaker of the House to put the brakes on everything and deal with this issue. And again, the Republicans, they don't have a lot of power, but they do have the power of the purse. And if they can cut off the funding, that's going to get a lot of people's attention. All right, let's take a break. We will come right back with your calls, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Many of you know that starting to lose a few pounds and I got to get a little healthy. And one of the ways I'm doing that is I'm taking something called Calitrin. Now, this is not some sort of a drug. It is stimulant-free, and it's 100% safe. I take Calitrin right before I go to bed after my last meal of the day, and it is amazing how this has helped me not only lose weight, but also it's really improved my sleep. I went from sleeping 3 to 4 hours to sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night. It's really been unbelievable, and it also helps with joint pain. And, well, you know, when you get to my age, the knees start hurting a little bit. So I want you to check out Calitrin. If you're looking to maybe shed a few pounds, and you want to get in shape for summer, or maybe you just want to be healthier, give them a call, 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOP-LOSS. You can also go to their website, toploss.com. That's T-O-P-L-O-S-S, toploss.com. And be sure to use my promo code, Todd. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Jim, listening to us on KWAM, the Mighty 990. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind?
Good morning, young man. Congratulations on the Edward R. Murrow Award. And it triggered a thought. I wonder how many people even know who Edward R. Murrow was.
You know, Jim, that's a fascinating question, and you're right. A lot of people may not be aware, but Edward R. Murrow really came to fame back in World War II with his radio dispatches, first from, I believe he was in Austria when the Nazis invaded, and then in London during the bombings. And those radio dispatches were so powerful. When he came back home after the war, CBS threw a big party for him at the Waldorf Astoria. 1,100 people came, and even President Roosevelt sent a congratulatory note. His radio broadcasts were just unbelievable.
Yes, and they were conservative, as I vaguely remember from my youth. The point is that you had a whole stable of radio commentators. You remember a guy named Kaltenborn?
I don't remember that name, Jim.
H.V. Kaltenborn was a national radio commentator along with Edward R. Murrow. And nowadays, I wonder how many people even know who Rush Limbaugh was. You remember his essay on American exceptionalism is just phenomenal. The point is that you're our voice. And you have the opportunity to bring out the messages that have been communicated across our population in the past to rekindle the light of what the American experiment really is.
Well, Jim, you're kind to say that, and I think that the team that we've built here at KWAM, just some incredibly great broadcasters,
yes,
and they do a great job reporting the news. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Murrow being a conservative. Actually, he was an independent. He did not even vote in elections. He was not a Republican, wasn't a Democrat. Now, after he left journalism, he aligned with the Democrats. But for example, who was it? The Rosen Rosenbergs, who were he actually supported their executions. I mean, and this is one of the greatest journalists of all time. So great that Winston Churchill, Jim, actually asked Edward Murrow to come over to London and head up the BBC.
Oh my gosh! Well, that just proves the point that we've got voices from the past that I think our present day Americans need to hear.
Agreed.
At least the messages, and you're the voice for that. And I wanted to congratulate you again on the award.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Appreciate that. And congratulations to our incredible team here, all winners of that prestigious Regional Edward R. Murrow Award. All right, let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. You always talk about the media. Here's something I think is critical, and I put this mainly on the Republican Party. I heard a thing this morning on Newsmax. There were pollsters talking about this poll and that poll, but one of the numbers that just really caught me said 64% of the people in this country don't know anything about this Biden money change in hands deal. The Republicans have to do a better job of presenting this stuff in a fashion where the news media has to cover it. That's why I think impeachments ought to be thrown in there, like you said, shutting down the money. They've got to do something that is so big and so outrageous that it wakes up the American people. It's crazy how uninformed half of this country is.
Steve, it's because people just don't care, and they've got a lot of other stuff they want to do, and they don't want to take the time. Now, you know, listeners of talk radio, you guys are in the know. You know, we talk about these issues all the time, but you're right, and it's going to have to be something very dramatic. I will say this. I appreciate Hannity last night. Man, he went after Ronna McDaniel, and he told the chairperson of the RNC that she was not doing her job. Case in point, you had races, and I'll give you, there were a couple of big races. You had the Kentucky primaries, where the Trump candidate won for the Republican, in the Republican primary for governor. But then you had Colorado Springs, one of the most conservative cities in America. They elected a Democrat. Jacksonville, Florida, they elected a Democrat. Again, a very conservative city. So the question is, what is the Republican Party doing? My understanding is that DeSantis did not even go and campaign in that Jacksonville mayor's race. And if that's the case, then that's a problem. But the RNC has got to get their act together, or we're going to get our butts handed to us in 2024. I mean, it really is that simple. Steve, appreciate that call, and thank you, as always, for listening. By the way, folks, if you missed that interview we did with Jim Jordan, you can go to our website, toddstearns.com, and you can download our free podcast. Now, we offer a lot of free stuff for you, the podcast and the newsletter, also our app, so you can listen to us wherever you might be across America. Coming up, we have got the most insane story coming out of Kansas, and you folks in Wichita need to pay very close attention to this. So the Kansas Republican Party is headed by one of the America First guys, right? Well, he is America First, and if you are not America First, he doesn't want you in the Republican Party. So the Kansas Republican Party at this moment is going to consider kicking out all of their affinity groups. For example, the Republican Women's Group in Kansas, or the Hispanic Republican Group in Kansas, the Black Conservatives of Kansas. All of these groups are going to be kicked out of party leadership so the America First people can consolidate. Folks, anybody think that's a bad idea? We're shrinking the tent instead of expanding the tent? Really, we're going to kick Black Republicans out of the party in Kansas? I mean, come on. Well, we're going to be talking to some folks about that. You're going to want to stick around for that conversation. We'll be right back, America.
Live From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy whatever day it is. Is it Wednesday? It is Wednesday. Wow. Thank goodness. All right, we have got so much to talk about this hour, so let's get going. We're going to play some audio for you. I need to set this up so you'll understand what's going on. Now, there is there's a gentleman here in the Memphis, Tennessee area. His name is Victor Luna Rodriguez. Now, Mr. Rodriguez is 40 years old. He is married. He has two children. They live in a really nice neighborhood. It's a very nice area of Memphis. And the other day, his security alarm system went off. And in Memphis, you got to have security. I mean, it's crazy over here. It's Mogadishu on the Mississippi. So Mr. Rodriguez was sound asleep with his wife, the kids sleeping inside. All of a sudden, the security alert goes off, and he goes outside. And the outdoor security lights come on, and there you have, I think, four or five thugs, and they were trying to steal his car from the driveway. And we've got the video. You're going to hear the audio in a moment, but you got to watch the video, which we have at toddstearns.com, because a neighbor's surveillance camera, one of those ring cameras, captured the whole thing. And so Mr. Rodriguez told them to get out of there, to stop what they were doing and get lost. And instead, the thugs took out their guns, and I think there was at least one AR-15 in the mix, and opened fire on Mr. Rodriguez. So what did Mr. Rodriguez do? Well, it turns out Mr. Rodriguez is a law-abiding gun owner, and so he pulled out his own gun, and he opened fire, and this is what it sounded like. Cut number six. Those are the bad guys. More bad guys. More bad guys. And that's the bad guy speeding off. So it was a war zone in this quiet little neighborhood in Memphis, or right outside of the city limits. So, by the way, you could hear, I think that was Mrs. Rodriguez. I don't speak Spanish, but I think she was saying, honey, get inside. Stop. Get inside. When you look at the video, it's a wonder that Mr. Rodriguez was not hit. It really was. And I'll get to that in just a moment. So anyway, they called the sheriff's department out, because they're not in the city limits. They called the sheriff's department out, and they explain what happened. There's the video that clearly shows what happened, and they end up arresting Mr. Rodriguez, the law-abiding gun owner, and they charged him with reckless endangerment. Now, according to the sheriff's department, when Mr. Rodriguez fired his gun, and he fired his gun multiple times, one or two of the bullets hit a neighbor's house. And the sheriff's department says, well, that's reckless endangerment. You're going to jail. And my understanding, I was talking to one of his relatives, and I want to bring this. Here we go. So he was arrested, and he was held. And then finally, I guess the sheriff's department was catching so much flack that they allowed him to go home on Sunday at nearly 4:30 in the morning. But now he's got to go to court. He's facing charges. And this is just a good and decent man who is protecting his family. Now, a lot of people were saying, well, are you allowed to shoot your gun if the thugs are trying to steal your car in your driveway? And no, I don't think you can. I think at that point you could be charged with a crime. I don't think that you would be found guilty. If that happened, I'd ask for a jury of my peers. No way the people in the deep South are going to go for anything like that. But Mr. Rodriguez is now facing a court date, And I know the local radio station, KWAM, I think we're going to try to get as many people down to the court proceeding as possible to try to help this guy out. But the issue for me is the bad guys open fire first. And so if you've got four or five people in your front yard and they're firing guns at you and your house with your wife and kids inside, what would you do, America? What would you do in that situation? Now, Mr. Luna, Mr. Rodriguez, in an interview, said that he was so scared that when he fired the gun, he closed his eyes. Well, you can't do that. And it's clear that Mr. Rodriguez probably needs to go and get some training and to make sure that he understands how to properly use a gun. But then again, I'm not sure what any of us would do if we're faced with, you know, in the dark of night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you've got four or five guys on your front lawn firing guns at you. My only regret is that he wasn't a better shot. He should have at least gotten a couple of them, but that didn't happen. But this is a good man, and I'm sure all he was trying to do was protect his wife and his kids. A couple of the bullets actually ended up in a kid's bedroom. And it bothers me, ladies and gentlemen, because in this part of the country, the criminals are coddled. And maybe, just maybe, the deputy sheriffs need to be spending more time trying to find the bad guys who shot up Mr. Rodriguez's home. Instead of harassing a good and decent man, what they ought to do is give this guy a medal. Okay, well, they're not going to give him a medal, but if he would have shot him, they should have given him a medal. We're living in a war zone. I live in a war zone. We all do here in the Memphis area. If you live in a major American city controlled by progressive Democrats, you live in a war zone. But what would you have done in that situation? Do you believe that this man should have been charged with a crime? 844-747-8868. And I want to play this audio again. I just want you to hear, in the wee hours of the morning, imagine being in this neighborhood and hearing this. That's the wife. Get inside, get inside. Well, maybe she's telling him to aim better. I don't know. This is every night in Memphis, Tennessee, and it is no joke. Let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Jim, listening to us on KWAM, our award-winning radio station. Hi, Jim. What's your thought on this?
Well, the only thing is, if they're trying to leave the residence with stolen property, you can't shoot them in the back. Now, I mean, my gun instructor, when I took advanced carry, told me, just remember one thing, all holes have to go in the front.
Well, that's a good point.
And you can't shoot somebody leaving. Now, the thing is, what would have happened to him if he had killed one of them? That's the thing I'm thinking about, because that poor man was defending his property, and yet he would have been the one probably charged with murder or whatever, you know, they wanted to charge him with. But in other words, what they say is when they turn around and go to run, the danger has passed. Is the way they look at it. Give you an example. I asked a state trooper one time about shooting on the expressway. He said, if they're beside you and they're shooting at you, you can shoot back. But once they pull ahead of you, you can't shoot through the back windshield at one of them. Because if you do, then they're going to charge you with murder or whatever. And he said the best thing to do would be hope you didn't get hit, but slam on your brakes and let him go ahead. Don't get into a shooting match with them on the expressway. But same thing at the house. I mean, I'm thankful to God he wasn't hit and killed, you know.
Jim, I don't know if you've seen the video. I have, and I'm astounded, because this guy, and that's the other issue, is that he should have had some sort of defensive posture. I mean, he was literally standing in the front yard, and those guys were even worse shots, but because he was literally facing off. It was sort of like, you know, standoff at the OK Corral.
Now, if we'd have had a stand-your-ground law, then he could have been legal. But trouble is, we don't.
That's a good point. Jim, you know, you hear me talk about how crazy it is in Memphis. Am I exaggerating any of this?
No, you are not. Not whatsoever. In Lakeland, we had a woman out here not too long ago. There was a knock on the door. She opened the door and they shot her dead right there. I mean, it's happening in the outskirts everywhere.
Well, this ought to be a wake-up call for the rest of the country. I hope we can fix things here. I don't know how. We need some strong leadership. We need politicians that are willing to say what needs to be said. And I'm not sure those.
Well, let me ask you this. When you've got a district attorney like we've got that just turns them around and sets them on the street back, you know, here you've got this rapper guy that was trying to do something for the community. He gets shot and killed, and now the killer's right back on the street again.
That's it. That's it. You know, and again, elections have consequences, and one of these days, people are going to stop voting strictly along political and pigmentation lines, and we're going to get some good and decent people in there. At least I hope.
Okay.
Yes. All right, Jim. Good hearing from you, sir. Lakeland, Tennessee, of course, a beautiful suburb of Memphis off of I-40. Ought to go check that out. Great restaurants. And they got a good Cracker Barrel, too. All right. Let's go to John in Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC, our great station there. Hi, John. What's up?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a little bit different slant on that. I understand the crime problem. I'm a former police officer. However, the question, Mr. Rodriguez was charged because the bullets he fired hit somebody else's house. What if they would have gone through and killed one of their children?
Well, that's a good question.
He didn't get charged because he fired his gun. He got charged because his gun hit somebody's house. His bullets hit somebody's house. Now, I agree. I'm with you. I wish he would have put one through each one of the guys' heads. Wish he was a better shot.
Yeah, it was dark in his defense. I get that. But, no, you're right. I mean, he was, and that's a fair question. What would have happened had those bullets hit somebody in that house? But, again, he was charged with reckless endangerment, and I wonder if you know, he's really going to see any jail time. I hope not. But what concerns me, John, is we have a district attorney who is more interested in protecting criminals than going after the actual bad guys.
Yes, I understand that. I know that. And that's just a crying shame.
It's sad that we have to live like that, but that's the reality. Every woman in Memphis, Tennessee ought to be packing heat, every single one of them.
I agree with you. I'm an ex-Nashville resident, and I just agree with you 100%, but I do understand where the charges are coming from.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's an honest assessment there. John, I appreciate that. We got to take a break. Folks opening up the phone lines, what would you have done? You got a bunch of thugs on your front lawn shooting up your house. What would you have done? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Ron in North Carolina. Hi, Ron. What's going on today?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I've just got a question for you. what party is in control in this district where this young man got probably wrongfully accused?
That would be the Democrats, Ron. Progressive, okay. Democrats.
I've got another question then. I wonder who he voted for. If he voted for a Democrat, then I think he's getting exactly what he deserves. You people who are in Democratic Party districts, if you don't vote something out of there, then you get what you deserve. You deserve all that. I think they deserve to be wrongfully charged, and they deserve to be whatever they get. That's what I think. If they can't get up and do something about the parties that's in control, then they deserve to get what they get.
Interesting.
That's all I have.
Ron, it's an interesting thought, and I hear you. And it's, again, I have no idea if this gentleman is Republican or Democrat. I don't know. I will tell you, a few days ago, we were telling folks about the situation in Chicago's South Side, where all these, where all the black residents are enraged that illegals are being moved into the neighborhood.
Well, they're getting exactly what they deserve.
Absolutely right. 97% of those, and we know that in that area, 97% of the population voted for Democrats. So,
the other three need to move out.
yes, they do. Those would be the people with the for sale signs in the front yard.
Oh, yes. And who would buy it?
Yeah, good point.
Yep. People need to realize, wake up and realize, if you don't do something at the ballot box, then you get what you deserve. You just need to get it. I mean, and if you voted to get rid of what you got, and you still get it anyhow, then you just maybe need to hide what protect yourself and just not tell anybody.
Ron, you have inspired me. Ron, you have inspired me, sir. I've had an epiphany, and here's what needs to happen. We need every Republican running for office in Memphis, Tennessee, or Shelby County. You need to go to that guy's house, and it's in the arrest documents. Go to that guy's house, knock on the door, and tell him, hey, I'm a Republican. I'm a defender of the Second Amendment, and we want to stand alongside of you. And you know what? You may get a brand-new registered Hispanic American voter right there in Shelby County, Tennessee.
You know one thing, though, what I really have found out in 75 years of life, there ain't no such thing as a Republican and a Democrat. They're all politicians.
Well, they're Republicrats, but you know what I'm saying here. I don't want to quibble.
All they care about is their money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right.
Thank you, Ron, for the call. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that. But again, why hasn't Ron McDaniel dispatched a team of Republican lawmakers to Chicago's South Side? Knock on the doors. Explain, hey, you know what? We want to secure the border. We don't want illegals living in your neighborhoods either. Why aren't we doing that? Anybody want to explain that to me? What are they doing with all of our money? That's what I want to know. But until we actually start doing something on a grassroots level, nothing is ever going to change, right? What about going into Brooklyn, New York? You've got boys and girls are not allowed to play Red Rover. Red Rover, send Susie right over. They can't do that. They can't play dodgeball. They can't duck, dive, dip, and do whatever. They can't do it. You know why? Because they're housing grown illegal alien men in the school gymnasium in six schools in liberal Brooklyn, New York. Well, here's a thought. Why don't all of you Republicans go to the school board meetings and tell these moms and dads that if you elect Republicans, we're not going to do that. Your kid's going to be able to play Red Rover. Your kid's going to be able to drink chocolate milk and have pizza. They can't even have pizza. You know why? They're giving it to the illegals. And they don't even eat pizza. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Very happy to have you with us today. Hang tight if you're on the lines. We're going to get to your calls, but there is a situation brewing in Kansas, and we need to talk to you about this, because if this is going on in your state, just hear me right now, we will lose every single race in the country. This is just bonkers. So the chairman of the Republican Party in Kansas is causing a lot of controversy because he's basically going through and, I don't know, ethnically cleansing the party and getting rid of a lot of these affinity groups like the Hispanic Republicans and the women, the female Republicans and the young Republicans, and you go on and on and on. So to help us figure out what's happening here is the chairman of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Kansas, Ben Sauceda. Ben, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Todd. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. What the heck is going on in Kansas right now, Ben?
Well, that's a good question. You know, this is a new world for us as we're trying to venture into. There really seems to be a power grab that's going on by our chairman in this instance. We've had some issues with oversight, as we all serve on the executive committee for the state party, and we have for decades. And as we raised questions about some practices and ways that he was running the organization, we were met with a rules committee change proposal that passed through the rules committee about a week ago to eliminate all the elected officials and every auxiliary group from the executive committee, thus eliminating any sort of oversight of what's going on in our party. And secondly, eliminating voices that are so important to the conversation of how we build a stronger Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, he's wanting to kick out groups representing female Republicans, black Republicans, Hispanic Republicans, and young Republicans. Who's going to be left? A bunch of old white guys?
Pretty much. You know, they say, you know, when everything happened back in Germany, they came for the Jews and no one spoke up. They came for this group and no one spoke up. And eventually you're all by yourself. So you either stand up now and fight for it, or you wait in silence until your voice is silenced itself.
Now, Ben, I'm curious about the new chairman of the party. He's been described by the Kansas City Red Star as a hard right individual. What's his deal, and why does he have a problem with all you guys?
Sure. So, you know, it seems to really go back to this idea of accountability. There is anybody that has a question about how we are doing things, or why our finances, or why hirings and such are taking place, we're met with resistance, and then ultimately we're treated as dissenters who need to be eliminated or silenced. And so to have a good understanding of what's going on, I wish I could sit there and explain this is the path, this is what's going on, but there's a really strong sense that we just don't know because he's all over the place.
This is just really shocking, and quite frankly, it smacks of racism. They're targeting black and Hispanic conservatives when at this very moment in American history, Republicans need to be bending over backwards to invite minorities into the party.
Yeah, if we're going to grow as a party, we have to welcome these voices. And we have to not just welcome them, we have to bolster them. Because one of the great opportunities I have as a chair of the Hispanic organization is that I deal with individuals who, these are families or individuals who've left communist Cuba to get to the United States, or they've escaped Venezuela where socialism has destroyed their country and where they've been tried, where their leaders have tried to silence them. And these individuals know a lot about freedom and what it means to live in a country that provides the opportunities that we do. And that's what the Republican Party has always stood for. And it's time that we now embrace that, embolden them, empower them, and spread that message that Republicans have the answers. And this sort of rules proposal does the exact opposite. It silences the voices we need the most.
All right, so the Kansas Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen, is getting ready to silence the voices of minority Republicans. And also, it's my understanding, the elected groups as well, lawmakers as well. I want to get to that in just a second, but I do want to read this statement from the Kansas Black Republican Council. Michael Austin is the chair. He says, "We're deeply disappointed in the decision to eliminate black leadership representation from the Kansas GOP and trust that state delegates reject this action and commit to unifying and strengthening the party." Now, Ben, I also understand that elected leaders also have a position and they're being shuttled aside as well. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct. That is correct. And here is kind of the cognitive dissonance that really is mind-boggling. So our state party chair, who campaigned as an election denier and all that went along with that, he campaigned against our current Secretary of State, Scott Schwab, saying that elections were stolen, fraudulent in Kansas, which there's not been one single proof ever given. That said, just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the chairman of the party went on record as saying how he campaigned vigorously with the state legislature to move Kansas from a caucus to a state-run primary. So he was against state-run elections before he was for them now. And so it's just that inability to reason with reality. But what this does in silencing the electeds as well, it gives him an opportunity to use the party as a bully pulpit against our elected officials.
I see.
And the job of the job of every single state party is to make sure that Republicans are elected across the board. And if we're really taking pot shots at Republicans who we might not agree with on one issue or on a second issue or whatever, that doesn't do anything to spread our message. That actually hurts it.
Well, look, here's my take on it. And again, Mike Brown is the guy here, the bad guy in all of this. Look, I believe that the election was stolen as well, but I also believe that you've got to have a big tent party, which is what Ronald Reagan preached about. And it looks like Mike Brown just wants to have a little pup tent filled with old, wrinkly white guys. I just don't see how that is a winning formula there in Kansas or, quite frankly, anywhere else.
It's not. Sedgwick County has a large group of Hispanic individuals who we're trying to make a concerted effort to reach out to. Southwest Kansas, which is Garden City, Liberal, Dodge City, those cities are reaching populations of Hispanics that are nearly making them a majority Hispanic population. So when we drive out these voices from the party, we're really ruining our chances at city, county, state, and ultimately federal. And if we want to make change, we have to win those elections from the city up.
Ben, real quick here, is this a done deal? Is there any way that this can be avoided?
There is. So we will have our summer meeting here with the Republican Party. And the chairman at that point can decide to bring this to the Rules Committee report to the floor and have an up or down vote on it. And it would take the delegates voting against it there to kill it. The chair could also table it and keep it off of being considered. The problem with that is this story and this rule proposal hangs over us until we take some sort of action.
All right. Well, and that's what folks need to do. Is you need to let your voices be heard or else you're going to be marginalized. This is absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts. Ben, appreciate you coming on the program. And where can people go if they want to get more information about the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Kansas?
Sure. Feel free to check out. Our Facebook page is our most active. It's www.facebook.com/RNHA Kansas.
All right, Ben, best of luck to you. This is the craziest story I've ever heard. This is just bonkers.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you having me on and bringing the awareness to this.
All right, Ben Sauceda, ladies and gentlemen, from Kansas. And I have to imagine all of our Wichita listeners, and we've got other radio stations around the state that carry this show. This is bizarre. So basically, you've got a guy in charge of the Republican Party there, who is who's an America First guy, and he wants to eliminate all of these minority youth and women's groups. They want to kick them out of party leadership. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a rhino, an establishment person, a conservative, America First, or a populist Republican. Folks, we got to work together. We've got to figure this out. Now, we have to understand that there are some things that we cannot disagree on. We have to have bona fides. We have something called a party platform. And if you can't defend the party platform, then you don't deserve to be in the party. But to kick somebody out just because they're Hispanic or black, good golly, this is not the 1960s. Stop behaving like Democrats, for goodness. They're acting like a bunch of Dixiecrats, segregationists in Kansas, of all places. Good Lord, man. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We are going to your phone calls coming up next. But first, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. Millions of people are making the switch. Have you watched Newsmax? They even have a curvy couch on their morning show. That's pretty cool. But after Tucker Carlson's firing, get this, the Eric Bolling Show, up over 200% in the ratings. Every night, Newsmax's powerful lineup, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Chris Plant, they can't be beat. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news that you can trust. And tonight, Eric is going to be revealing truth about Hunter Biden, the Biden crime syndicate, and even China. So watch Eric Bolling tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. Get Newsmax on all major cable systems. And if your cable system doesn't have Newsmax, we'll switch to a system that does. Again, tell your friends, watch Newsmax because it's real news for real people. All I can tell you right now, Bob Dole must be rolling over in his grave. Can't believe what the Kansas Republican leadership is doing. Shame on you people. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Wilbur in North Carolina, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WSJS. Hi, Wilbur, what's on your mind?
So last night, Brother Starnes, the great state of North Carolina General Assembly overrode Governor Roy Cooper, a liberal Democrat governor's veto, bringing some sensibility to an abortion bill that goes from 20 weeks down to simply 12. It offers adoption care, foster care, all of those post-birth supports. A CNN reporter covering that story last night said, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize states had all of this power. States did not have this much power." You talk about someone rolling over in your grave. The founders of this nation, who intended for states to have this power, are saying, who is this dingbat at CNN who would think that way? What are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I'm not sure who the lady reporterette or anchorette is, but to your point there, and I'm sorry we dropped the call there, but I will, or I may have hung up, I don't know. But look, the point is that a lot of the journalists at the network level are just, what is the clinical word I'm looking for? Stupid. I mean, that's really what they are. They're just stupid. And they don't know any better. They don't understand that there are certain rights provided and afforded the states, and there are certain responsibilities afforded the government. And we are for a small government. That's right. That's what we want, a small federal government. Let the states decide, and that was the whole point of the Supreme Court decision. And I appreciate what Hannity was saying yesterday, that there is a political component to the abortion issue. And if you don't believe that, then you're not being honest with yourself. It's all about politics. And yes, I am staunchly pro-life. Absolutely. Staunchly pro-life. But the reality is, if you go in and all of a sudden you're announcing that there are no exceptions, period, none whatsoever, hate to break it to you, but you're not going to win elections. I just hate to break that to you. But you know what? There are some in the pro-life movement, and they're okay with that. They would rather every Republican, they want to advance zero abortions. And I think we should all be heading in that direction. But if you do it in one fell swoop, you're going to lose every election. You say, well, how do you know that? Because it's already happened. Look at what happened in Kansas. Look at what happened in Wisconsin. They went full bore. And the Republicans lost. And now you have radical liberals. You think the radical liberals are going to move any pro-life legislation? So you got to play smart politics. That's all this is. You got to have smart messaging. And I hate to say it, but the RNC, they're not too keen on doing smart messaging. We got to do that. And I know this doesn't win me any brownie points with RNC leadership, but they don't understand. We're just trying to help them. We're trying to say, hey, we're out here outside of the beltway, and this is how people are interpreting what you are doing. That's all. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Norman on the line. Hi, Norman. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I'm 78 years old, and I used to watch Edward R. Murrow on television. The other thing I want to say is that you are the best thing since Rush. You're the only replacement for him.
Well, thank you for that, Norman.
The other thing is that there must be a hot spot in WSIC in this area, because I keep hearing, you know, like myself, calling you from WSIC. Look, your call screener asked me if I thought this was on topic, and I hope you will hear me out on this, because you just made reference to it when you were talking about the Kansas thing. you actually said to that gentleman you had on the air that you believe that the election was stolen. Now, we wouldn't have to talk about any of this stuff that we're talking about on your show if Trump had won. I want to ask you a question. I called Hannity's program a couple of weeks ago. I asked the call screener, I said, I don't need to talk to Hannity. What I want to know is, did Hannity watch 2,000 Mules? She said he did not. And I said, well, I wouldn't walk across the street, and she hung up on me. My question to you is, you are lauding Hannity, and I've listened to Hannity for years in addition to Rush, and I'm a total believer in him until he will not listen to 2,000 Mules. Denise D'Souza is a very intelligent Christian man who did a wonderful video, and it proves that the election was stolen. Have you seen 2,000 Mules yourself?
I have, and we actually promoted the movie before it came out. We had Dinesh on the program. So, look, okay, there are some things I agree with in that, and there are other issues where I'm like, well, okay, do we have absolute proof that the person in that video was doing this or that? I think that's a fair assessment. I think somebody can watch a film like that and not necessarily agree with every conclusion. But, Norman, I sincerely believe that there was election fraud, and I believe that fraud impacted the election. I also believe that whatever the FBI was up to, I believe they were involved in some capacity, and I only say that because we know they tried to stop Trump from being elected in 2016, and I can promise you this, they didn't stop what they were doing. Norman, I've got to run. We are late for a break here, but thank you for listening. And look, I mean, we're not always going to agree on everything, folks. I just want you to know this is where I'm coming from, right? And I hope you can respect that. And if not, just give me a call and, give me the what for. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. You people in Kansas, you need to be calling your state Republican headquarters and find out what the heck's going on up there. Good Lord.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Man, has it been a busy day? It's been a fast day, but it's been a busy day. We got a lot to talk about this hour. By the way, Cal Thomas, the great journalist, brand new book out. He's expected to join us later on this hour. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. From the 36th Congressional District in Texas, our good friend Congressman Brian Babin joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing well, Todd. Great to be with you.
You know, Congressman, we have been paying. There are so many dumpster fires burning in America right now. And we're going to try to get to a couple of the big ones. Of course, the border crisis. I'm just curious, what sort of an impact is it having on the average Texan?
I think you can't argue that it's harmless in any possible way. From every standpoint, you've got danger to our national security, our public health, criminal activity. Drugs, overdoses, etc. The border has just literally been turned over to the Mexican drug cartels. 162,317 illegals came over in March, month before last, waiting to see where we were in April. 147 different countries, 332 suspected terrorists across the border, 14,000 pounds of fentanyl. That is 7 tons of fentanyl coming across in this fiscal year. And it's stunning to contemplate just how much money the cartels are now making, the empowerment by our administration allowing them to make $13 billion a year smuggling in aliens, illegal aliens, and then that doesn't even count the billions they're making off of the illegal drugs. It's hard to describe how nervous and how nerve-wracking this whole situation of our border. Any developed nation that doesn't have a secure border is endangering their own survival, and that's what is happening here under Joe Biden and his lackluster, incompetent DHS Secretary Mayorkas.
And Congressman, I know that President Biden is saying, oh, well, things are hunky-dory down there, you know, since Title 42. Nobody's coming across. Well, that's because you've got the Texas National Guard down there armed to the teeth. Is that not right, sir?
That is true, and I really appreciate our governor doing what he is doing. I wish that we would start deporting these people, and we have not begun to do that. But understandably, I think there's a gray area in there, and just how much power and authority our governor has. I personally believe that the governor has the authority to start putting these criminals and illegal aliens back across the border because of what the Constitution says, Article 4, Section 4, Article 10, Section 4. We've got, I think, the federal government has fallen down on its job, constitutional duty, to defend the states from invasion. Let me tell you something, Todd. If 6 million coming across in a little over 2 years is not an invasion, I don't know what. What is? If 107,000 dead Americans from drug overdoses, the huge majority of which are coming across our southern border, is not chemical warfare by the Communist Chinese Party and the cartel, I don't know what is. That's why I am in favor and a co-sponsor of Dan Crenshaw's, Representative Dan Crenshaw's bill to authorize the use of military force against the cartels.
You know, Congressman, being a Tennessean, I have an affinity for Texas and, of course, the Alamo, and we sent our volunteers down to help. This reminds me of a modern-day Alamo to some extent, this invasion we're seeing.
It does, and I want to thank you for being a Tennessean. Some of my best friends up here in Washington in the House are from Tennessee, and they like to tell me that, listen, if there was no Tennessee, if it wasn't for Tennessee, there would be no Texas. And in a way, that is very, very true. You mentioned Davy Crockett and his men coming down, who eventually died at the Alamo, but also General Sam Houston, your former governor of your
That's
state.
Right.
And the only one that I believe historically that has been governor of two different states, and that is Sam Houston, governor of Tennessee, and governor of Texas as well. Thank you for your history there.
But when you look, Congressman, at what's happening, the reality of it is, aside from the states, and the states do have the power to act, I am curious to know what happens when the president, the federal government, is in violation of the guarantee clause. Do the states have some sort of a recourse to go out on their own and protect their own borders?
Well, Todd, I believe that it's in the – I would answer that in the affirmative. I believe that you cannot continue to risk the lives of your own people in Texas, their property. You cannot bankrupt a city, county, or a state like Texas, with the influx of millions of individuals that we have to provide educations for and have to provide free medical treatment, and who commit literally thousands and thousands of crimes. We've caught over 300 suspected terrorists coming across, 332 to be exact, from 147 different countries they've come over. And it's just stunning to think that a president duly elected by the people of the United States, and quite frankly, I'm just going to tell you, I still have great suspicions about the 2020 election happening in certain key counties of key swing states that some very, very strange things happened. We have gone from the most prosperous economy that we have seen in 60 years to now a country that is besieged by millions of people just swarming across our borders, an inflation that is raging and out of control, the worst we've seen in over 41 years. We've got a foreign policy that is really just in the toilet because of the foolish and incompetence of foolishness and incompetence of our president, his cabinet, and his military leaders. Just take a look at the Afghan withdrawal. I call it a retreat that wound up costing the lives of 13 brave U.S. servicemen and women, and actually stranding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Americans, many of which are still there, and then being so incompetent that we gave up Bagram Air Force Base before we got our people out, and we allowed literally 100,000 Afghans that were unvetted to climb aboard these aircraft, and left really thousands of Afghans who helped us and who have been being hunted down and murdered by the Taliban because of the incompetence of this president, who would not listen to reason. The same thing he did, Todd, on the border. The officials with the Trump administration had instituted a number of policies that were working. We had the most secure border we had seen down there under President Trump in many, many decades, maybe in history. And yet, contrary to what they were being advised by the Trump administration officials, The Biden administration simply did away with each one, starting on day one of his inauguration.
Right.
When he did away with the building of the wall. And let me just say this real quick.
Real quick, sir. Yes, sir.
We passed H.R. 2 the other day. I was so proud to have all of the Republicans, save, I think, two, voted for that. And that was the most powerful, meaningful border security bill that I've seen pass in my five terms in office. And really, I think it was the best one ever passed since George H.W. Bush, George Bush 1. And this is a bill that would restore the turnback authority. This would resume finishing the border wall construction, end catch and release, hire more boots on the ground, get rid of this exploited asylum process, and take care of these unaccompanied children that are being trafficked for sex slavery purposes and violation of child labor laws. And then, of course, let's not forget the drug trafficking.
And Congressman, we are super late for a break, and I'm afraid we're going to have to end it there. But we would love to get you back because there are so many other issues we want to talk to you about. But we appreciate you standing on the wall and watching out for the American citizens and American taxpayers.
You got it, Todd. Sorry about that.
No, you're doing fine, Congressman.
I get impatient when I talk about the border.
I know you do. All right, Congressman Brian Babbitt, everybody, from District 36 in Texas. We do have to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. Do you believe that the Biden administration is putting this country in harm's way as a result of this open border? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. There's a story from Fox Business that I'm fascinated by. So this has gone viral on the TikTok. More than 59 billion views on TikTok. Apparently, a mom and a dad went on TikTok and they said, hey, look, we're talking about our daughter. She's 19 years old. She graduated from high school last year, last May, and now we're charging her rent. So the daughter is paying $200 a month to live at home. And the reason why is that she decided not to go to college, that she said, you know, I'm going to stay home, go get a full-time job working down at the Walmart, whatever, the Target. And people are really upset about all of this. Oh, you're just a bad parent. How dare you? You should love your children. You shouldn't charge them rent. But the parents are like, hey, look, they say they're, oh, the names, Erica and Cody Archie from Gatesville, Texas. And they say they listen to Dave Ramsey. And ever since their daughter Kylie was a little girl, they helped her and taught her how to budget. And so from an early age, Kylie had three envelopes. You got the save envelope, you got the spend, and the give. And you put a little money in each one. And when you run out, well, tough cookies. So anyway, they charge her $200 a month, and the parents say this is just getting her to realize that everything is not free, and they're trying to prepare her for adulthood. And if you go into the workforce, you have to be responsible for your own food and rent. And may I just throw into that your own cell phone bill, which is a huge issue with a lot of Gen Zers, by the way. So apparently a lot of moms and dads are still paying. I mean, your kids are in their early 20s and mom and dad are still paying for the cell phone bill. Dylan, are your folks still making, are they paying for your cell phone bill or do you foot
look,
the bill?
Todd, I'm blessed.
Oh gosh.
I'm not taking advantage. I'm being thankful for it still, but I'm sure it's coming soon.
Oh, it's coming. It is coming. I recommend Patriot Mobile, by the way, promo codes, Todd. They'll give you a good discount, Dylan. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what about you? Do you charge your adult children rent if they're still living at home? And if so, I'm curious to know how much. Or do you have some other kind of an arrangement or agreement worked out? A lot of people are saying this is bad parenting, but others are saying, hey, look, you're teaching your kid about fiscal responsibility, that there's really no such thing as a free lunch, that if you want something, you got to go out there and you got to work at it. So I'm curious to hear your takes on this. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. A study in 2022 by LendingTree reports 85% of parents would let their children move back in as adults or have previously done so. And most, 73%, would not charge their kids rent if they move back home. Look, if you got a full-time job, why would you not want to, like, offer to pay something, right? Whether it's to help out with the light bill or the groceries. Another LendingTree survey found that 85% of parents would let their children move back in as adults and would not charge them rent. Interesting. I'm fascinated by, I am truly fascinated by this. According to a clinical therapist that Fox Business interviewed, there's actually been an upward trend of almost half of individuals 18 to 24 living with their parents the majority of the time. And some parents will say, you know what? Okay, we're going to let you live at home, but you got to save up. You know, you've got to get, you know, got to save up for your, you know, first car or for your first apartment. What say you? Let's go to Georgia. Pam on the line. All right, Pam, talk to me.
Good afternoon, Todd. I just wanted to tell you my story about our son. This has been many years ago, but he had graduated from high school, had a job, and he wanted to stay, live at home to save money. Well, I was watching him, and he was not saving money, and it was really affecting our relationship because I really felt like he was taking advantage of us, and his father was out of the country with National Guard at that time, so I was just about to go crazy dealing with that, so we decided to start charging him rent, and we did. We charged him rent. It really helped our relationship. After we did that. But the one thing he did not know is that when he moved out, we gave him the money back. We
is
didn't
that
need
right?
the money. It wasn't a.
So you gave him all that money back? Wow, that's pretty interesting. That's a cool way to look at it.
Well, it was a forced savings plan is basically what it was. And so he needed a car at the time, and so we felt like giving him the money back was helpful to him. And but he didn't know we were going to do that, so that was the point. He didn't know it.
Pam, I remember when I was 15 years old. When I was 14, I'd already had a part-time job. But when I was 15 and I got my driver's license, you could get that young when I went back in the 80s. My dad, I thought he was taking me down to the car dealership. He took me down to Popeye's Fried Chicken and put in an application for me. He says, son, if you're going to have a car, you're getting a job because you're paying for the insurance and you're paying for the gas. And I thought, you know what? That's a fair deal. That's pretty fair. All right, Pam. Well, I appreciate it. That's a great story. Pam says, yeah, we charged our son rent, but then when he finally moved out, we gave him that money back. And he had a little nest egg, hopefully. All right, we're going to take your calls on this. 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Would you charge your kids rent? We'll be right back. All right, let's head over to the phones here. Let's go to James in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. Hey, James, so what do you think about charging your kids rent?
Well, when our kids were in high school, they weren't into sports, but they when they got to be old enough to work, we had them get jobs. We had them save their money and put it in the savings account for themselves. Then when they went to college, we paid for their college education, and when they wanted to join a fraternity or a sorority, they had the money to do it on their own because they had saved their money all that time. Now, when they got out of college, they moved back home until they could get established. We charged them rent. But like the lady before that, we saved, they didn't know this, but we saved that money in an account for them. So when they finally got settled and everything like that, we gave them that money when they moved out and got started on their own lives, and they had a nice, good chunk of change for each one of them. That's three kids, so all three of them did the same. We treated all three the same. So.
And how did they turn out? I'm curious how they turned out, James.
Well, the girls are doing great. My son was doing great. Then he got a disease, and he passed away with that disease, but. Other than that, they did wonderful. They bought all three, like I said, got educated, got degrees, and then they went on about their lives and got married and had kids and raising the family. And,
well, there you
they
go.
They had a good work ethic. They had a good work ethic too.
Well, so there you go.
You see that. In, so
well, James, and, I appreciate that. You know, I think a lot of people feel just like you. Is that yeah? It is incredibly appropriate to do something like that. And again, you're really helping prepare your kids for adulthood and not coddling the kids, which unfortunately we got a lot of parents out there that do some coddling. James, appreciate that call. Brand new book out, and folks, I can't wait to read this one. I am a sucker for these kinds of books. Just incredible. The book is called A Watchman in the Night, What I've Seen Over 50 Years Reporting on America. The author happens to be on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is a journalist, pundit, author, commentator, and columnist. What an honor to have Cal Thomas with us today. Cal, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, Todd, I'm honored to be with you. Thanks for asking me.
And congratulations on the new book. This is exciting, and I want you to tell our listeners what this is all about. What did you discover over 50 years of reporting?
Well, as I entered my 40th year of column writing, going back over 4,000 columns. This is not a collection, but it's kind of a look back, a diary, a roadmap of where we've come since the column started in 1984 and even before. And I think you'll see a lot of things that if you're an older person will, that'll remind them. And if you're a younger person listening, you'll be reminded of where we came from and how we got to where we are. I have long maintained that there are three common denominators to the decline of any society. One is massive national debt. Who argues that we don't have that right now? A second is uncontrolled immigration without assimilation. We certainly have that. And thirdly, a loss of a shared moral sense. And we certainly have that. So this look back and my comments on various events since the second Reagan term are a reminder of where we've come from and a call to get back to where we once were. That's what the whole idea of a watchman in the night comes from. It's from an Old Testament verse where the ancient Israelites posted a watchman on the wall to keep a lookout for invading armies and other bad guys. And I contend we are being invaded, not by an army necessarily, but by a foreign worldview that did not build or sustain America. And we are in great danger, I think, of collapsing as a nation if we don't turn this around.
I know people like to say, oh, well, you know, pay attention to what happened in ancient Greece or ancient Rome. But I think there are some lessons we can glean from those civilizations when we look at what's happening now, when we get away from the Constitution and the nation our founding fathers intended for us to have. And remember, what is it? John Adams said, our Constitution wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people.
Well, that's right. And you've seen some of the polls I've seen. The younger generation, 20% of them say none when they are asked what their religious affiliation is. Not all of the founders were certainly evangelical Christians, but they understood, as Mr. Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, that our rights don't come from government. They come from our Creator. And the purpose of government is to preserve and protect those rights. Now, James Madison said, if men were angels, we wouldn't need government, but men are not angels. The important thing is that government operates under God and not unto itself. And I fear that too much of that unto itself is happening right now. We are seeing a country that our parents and grandparents, depending on your age, fought for, died for, were injured for. And if they thought things were going to turn out like we have now with drag queen story time in kindergarten, critical race theory, and the teaching that America is really not as great a nation as some people say they are, I'm not sure they would have gone to war in the first place. It's very disturbing. I mean, I grew up during the Cold War, and even Democrats then were strong anti-communists. They believed in living within our means, and not. I mean, John Kennedy cut taxes, for heaven's sake. Imagine, he probably couldn't even get a nomination for president today from his party.
I thought it was fascinating. I was reading a book about Eisenhower, and I didn't realize that he was such a deeply religious man, baptized. Was he in office or right before he was elected? Got baptized, I believe, as a Presbyterian. And yeah. He really influenced, I think, the early stages. They weren't calling it a culture war, but they were starting to have these battles even back in the late 50s, early 60s.
Right. Well, he supported the congressional addition of Under God to our Pledge of Allegiance. And he certainly spoke up and, as you say, was baptized. I think it was during his administration, but he attended the first National Prayer Breakfast in 1953 and lent his office and authority to that work. The first speaker at that was Billy Graham, and there had been an annual prayer breakfast ever since.
Cal, I'm curious, looking back through your notes and the things you've covered, was there one specific moment that you can say, okay, this is where the country took a wrong turn?
Well, I think it's been gradual, like the progression of some diseases. It didn't happen all at once. I think, obviously, the 60s, with the people who rebelled against their parents' values, produced free love, which turned out not to be free at all, the drug culture. And then we moved into, assassinations of President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., riots in the streets, race riots. The riots of the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 1968, Vietnam, as I said, which spread a general cynicism around the country because the government was lying to our people about what was really going on in Vietnam and what our intentions were, and then came Watergate. So I think all of these things contributed to a general cynicism about leadership. If you look at some of the polls, Gallup poll, shows that trust in the media and the government, meaning Congress especially, is at or near an all-time low. So a lot of this is our fault, frankly, the voters. We keep electing these people, and we expect different results, which is the definition of insanity. Look at who they just elected and was just sworn in as the new mayor of Chicago. He's even more liberal than Lori Lightfoot, whom he replaced. This guy is about as far left as you can get, and yet people are concerned about crime in Chicago, the shootings, the killings, but they keep electing people who won't do anything about it, want to defund the police, want to do away with the police. So what I'm appealing to in my book is, look, let's go back and see what worked in the past. Update it as necessary and move forward. And I think what I've seen over the 50 years provides a roadmap that tells us how we got to where we are and a way back from where we are to where we used to be.
The name of the book, folks, A Watchman in the Night, written by Cal Thomas, who is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. CalThomas.com, folks, if you'd like to read more from Cal. You know, one of the things I really appreciate is you don't shy away from your faith, and I happen to be of the Southern Baptist persuasion, and that really flavors what we do on this program. Yesterday, I saw a video, and I got to share this with you, and it's going to tie into something that you write about in your book. We have an NBA star, Ja Morant, and he's gone off the deep end and gotten himself in a lot of trouble. And one of the very famous black attorneys in Memphis put together a video, and it was basically an open letter to him. And I didn't know where the guy was going to go with it, but he just laid it out that, you know, that Ja, if you want to change the direction of your life, then you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, how refreshing, because ultimately, Cal, I believe that most of the problems, if not all the problems facing America, really are spiritual in nature.
You're absolutely right, Todd. They're not economic and political. They are moral and spiritual. And the moral and spiritual foundation of an individual, as well as a nation, determines how they live and how they perform. I recall the same thing was said about Tiger Woods. Somebody said after his unfortunate adultery came to light, and his wife left him, took the kids, somebody said, you know, you need a personal relationship with Christ. I shared that message with the late Bob Beckel, my great Democrat friend. We wrote a column together for USA Today called Common Ground, a book together by the same title. And he used to be pro-choice on abortion. But after he came to Christ, he changed because he saw that we are created by an infinite personal God. You know, truth has a power of its own. We debate what truth is now. You know, you have your truth, I have my truth. Even if they're opposed to each other, as long as they make each of us feel good, it's fine. But I remember something Ted Koppel, the former ABC anchor, said years ago. He said, truth is not a polite tap on the shoulder. Truth is a howling reproach. I always loved that line.
It's a great line, and it's a great book, folks, and you got to get yourself a copy, A Watchman in the Night. Cal, I loved the columns you guys wrote together, and Bob, I got to know Bob when I was working at Fox News, and he used to sit out in front of the studio there, and he'd just have a conversation with whoever was passing by. You know, it was just, it was kind of like the old Southern country store, you know, sitting around just chewing the fat, and what a great man.
Well, he became my closest friend, and this is one of the problems in America now, Todd. We are all parts of tribes and groups. We're identified by race and gender and political positions and all of these other things. We don't get to know each other. We don't take the time to listen to somebody else. One of the things Bob used to say when we were out on the lecture circuit doing our dog and pony show, he would encourage the audience, find somebody who you may disagree with politically. Sit down with them. Have a conversation. Listen to them, and they'll listen to you. You know, we have enough enemies trying to destroy us from China and Russia and Iran and terrorists. Why are we trying to destroy ourselves? In Lincoln's second inaugural address, even near the end of the Civil War, which killed more Americans than any other war, he said, we are not enemies, but friends. We need to readopt that and stop criticizing and labeling and rejecting each other and realize that if we don't make this great experience called the United States of America work, where else will we go? Who else can do it?
Well said. Well, Cal, we really appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon, and congratulations on the new book.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right, Cal Thomas, everybody. The new book, A Watchman in the Night, you can get it at your favorite bookstore. You can also go to calthomas.com. All right, we're going to take a break. Going to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hey, Todd. If my kids lived at home and worked full-time, they'd definitely get charged rent. Know someone that is 48 years old and still lives at home with his parents because they don't charge rent. and he blows all his money.
Well, there you go. Thank you. That's Amanda from Martin, Tennessee, listening to us on our brand new affiliate in those parts, WTJS. Want to welcome all of our West Tennessee listeners, our newest affiliate, and we're getting ready to launch in Amarillo, Texas as well. So the big front porch on the radio continues to grow, ladies and gentlemen. Let's head down to Texas. Benjamin is on the line. Now, Benjamin, I understand you're 19 years old. Is that right?
Yes, sir, 19.
All right. Now, what is your thought here on moms and dads charging their kids rent?
I think it's okay. I got charged rent by mine for a few months when I was 18. And kind of moved out for a while and then came back in. And now I'm living in a trailer on their place. But they charge $160 a month. And so I paid that. And then really thankful that they did, because I've had to pay for everything. I pay for my own insurance and fuel and taxes and all that stuff. And I have my own business now and living debt-free. And building my first house. So really thankful that they did that and laid a good foundation, and it's really helped me out.
Wow. 19 years old. Benjamin, that is so impressive. And you have to give credit, you know, again, to mom and dad for saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. And again, it just starts you at a younger age, understanding that we all have obligations, and here's what you're going to have to do. So, Benjamin, thanks for calling in. And congratulations there. This was really a hot topic, folks, wanting to talk about this. We have a tendency to want to coddle the kids, and you can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, they're going to be reliant. As Amanda from Martin, Tennessee said, you know, you don't want to be 48 years old and still living at home, right? All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Where is this story? This is the craziest story I have seen. So apparently there's a new trend. Now, this is for all of you short men out there. And by short, someone who does not play in the NBA. So according to Sky News, the latest craze to hit America is leg lengthening surgery. Have you heard about this? This is bizarre. So there is now a surgical procedure, and let's say you're 5'5", you can have this procedure and you can actually increase your height. I'm not going to describe the surgery, but it is as horrific as you might possibly imagine. Basically, they take a bone and they separate the bone and then they reconnect the bone and it stretches. A survey found that most men who are short would rather do the surgery than remain short. They want to be taller. A study found that 60% of men and 49% of women wish to be taller. The average ideal height, by the way, is 6 feet for men. Ladies, 5'9". That's the ideal height. By the way, this is fascinating, and I didn't know if this was, I don't know if this is true or not, but taller people earn $166,000 more than short people. All right, let's go real quick to Buffy. Buffy, you got 25 seconds. Go for it.
Okay, I actually was going to address something a little differently than kids paying rent in parents' houses. With my children, from the time they were born, I always saved all the money that they received for birthdays and that kind of thing. And I always told them that it was for their first car and that they could add to that at any time. So from a young age, they all started working, babysitting and doing yard work and that kind of thing, so that by the time they turned 16, each of them had enough money to buy their first car.
What a great idea. Buffy, that is a brilliant idea. Look, we got to run, but you give us a call back. Buffy from McMinnville, Oregon on KYKN. What a great way to end the show. Folks, be good, America.